I'm Jonathan. I'm an alcoholic. I'm really nervous. I wasn't expecting this. About 5 minutes before the meeting started, a friend asked me to speak, and I had to fulfill it, so I couldn't say no. I wanted to. I have a serious fear of speaking in public, so bear with me. My sobriety date is April 3rd, 2012. I have a sponsor. My sponsor is a sponsor. I've worked 12 steps. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I was born in Pittsburgh. I'm the youngest of three children. I come from a family of drug addicts and alcoholics. It's always been a huge part of my life. I mean, from the earliest moment I remember, drugs have been a part of my life. So it's a huge part of my story. If not me, it's been my family. I also grew up in a pretty wealthy family. It's another part of my story that I can't, you know, it's affected every part of my life. You know, I haven't had to face consequences like other people, and that probably prolonged my pain and misery. I went to private school growing up until about sixth grade. And when the big thing for me was when I switched to public school in middle school, and I went from a small private school of about 20 kids in my class to a few hundred kids in my class. And it was kind of like a culture shock for me. And it was really, really important for me to fit in. Like, I wanted anything to do to fit in. So, I mean, at such a young age, I immediately was drinking and doing drugs at the age of 11 and 12. Because I thought that's what you did to be cool. You know, I wanted to have friends, and that's what the cool kids did. And, you know, I went from being, you know, straight-A student to not caring and skipping school and doing drugs and drinking on the weekends. And, you know, I mean, at such a young age. It was really hard for me. Really hard to go from such a small environment into a big environment, and you know that happened to me several times. My family's solution for me was to switch my school all the time. So I was ripped out of one school and put into another school when I was doing bad. And my home life was my parents were divorced early. Since I was like two, my dad was in and out of my life. He was a drug addict. My mom's a very bad alcoholic to this day. My dad passed away from the disease when I was 21. At home, I was in middle school. At home, like, I had no rules. Like, I could do what I want. My house was the party house. You know, my mom didn't care what I did. You know, as long as I didn't get picked up by the police or, like, hassle her in any way, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if I went to school. It didn't matter, you know, what I was doing in school. I got through seventh grade in public school, and I was doing everything bad. I was, you know, drinking all the time. I was doing drugs, and I was so young. I mean, even then. I'll go back. I was showing addict and alcoholic tendencies, like, immediately. I was probably the most manipulative little kid when I was younger. I had an older brother that beat me up all the time, so I had to learn very young to manipulate, and I got really good at it. My teacher actually one time in, like, third grade told my mom that I was a sweet talker, and, I mean, that's because I had to manipulate to, like, not get beat up by my older brother. So they say, like, you show tendencies, you know, you could see it beforehand, and it was definitely apparent with me, you know, from a young age. In eighth grade, my parents switched me back to a private school, and I was still on the weekends, and, you know, even though I wasn't around the kids in public school and all my friends who were still doing, like, drinking on the weekend and, you know, getting high and whatever, on the weekends, I would still hang out with them. Like, nothing changed besides where I went to school. So I got through eighth grade, and, like, I did good in school again, so my parents let me go back to public school for ninth grade because that's what I wanted to do. And in ninth grade, it got worse. I was drinking on weeknights. I wasn't even driving yet, and I was taking my mom's car with my friends and going drunk driving, you know, without a license. And thank God I didn't kill somebody or kill myself or, like, get arrested. And just by luck, like, I got through that. I mean, I guess God was watching out for me. But my mom ended up catching me doing that. And my parents' solution, again, was to send me to a different school. And this time, they weren't screwing around. They sent me to military school. So at 15, I was sent away to Virginia. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I was sent away to Virginia to military school, which is like that's what parents always threaten, like boys. Like, you keep being bad, you're going to military school, and my parents did it. It was probably, like, the best thing for me. I did really well. Like, I thrive in, like, a structured environment. And, I mean, I was playing sports and getting straight A's, but I was still coming home and seeing my friends and doing drugs and drinking, like, just like... I would come home for a month, like I had longer breaks because it was private military school, and I'd come home for a month and just pick up where I left off, like nothing changed. And I went back for my junior year, and at this time I was pretty upset that I was like away from home for this, you know, I was like, high school, that's, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be living it up, you know. So when I came home for Thanksgiving my junior year, I decided not to go back, and I re-entered public school. And for the next year and a half, it got so bad. I mean, it just continued to get worse. I didn't go to school. Like, my senior year, I had to go half day. I had, like, I was in the classes that was, like, called work experience, and they let you leave halfway through the day if you had a job. So I only had to go to school till noon, and I missed 67 days of school. Like, I don't know how I graduated, but meanwhile, I'm a pretty smart kid, and I barely graduated. And then I went to college, because that's what everyone does. They go to college. And and meanwhile, getting into college was like all I'm, like, my, no one cared. It was just the only reason I applied to college is because that's what all my friends were doing. Like, my parents didn't care. So I went to college, and college is college. And I didn't go to class. Like, I would just get messed up and, you know, withdraw from classes, you know, fail classes, whatever. And I did that for 1 year, for my freshman year, which isn't really my freshman year because I didn't get enough credits to finish. So for the first year I was out of high school, that's what I did. And then I transferred schools and did the same thing again. And then my family, they were like, we're not paying for this anymore. So they pulled me out and I started working. And, you know, I got into other things and things got worse. I mean, really quick. I was drinking all the time. I was, you know, doing other things and, you know, barely able to function. I actually ended up going back to school. I started dating someone for a while. I went back to school, and by all appearances, it looked like I had straightened up my life. And I managed to graduate college. I managed to be engaged and be with the same girl for 6 years. I was working, so by all appearances, it looked like I was, you know, doing what I should be doing. I actually was in grad school, and I used to think, like, before I would go to grad school, I'd be so sick, I'd be like, there can't be any other people going to grad school, like screwed up as I am. You know, I'd be sitting in my car before class, and I'd be throwing up. I'd be like, this is just so messed up. And then one night I was leaving work. I was working at like a big restaurant sports bar, and I had to work till like 3 in the morning a lot, like, because that's what time it closed. And on my way home, I had a headlight out, and I got pulled over. And my license was suspended, and they searched my car, and they found things I wasn't supposed to have, and I got arrested. And that's how my whole world collapsed, because then my family found out what I was doing, and my whole life changed. They actually took me to the emergency room at the local hospital, and, you know, because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to get me into treatment. And so they took me, to the emergency room, which was a terrible experience. And I managed to get in treatment in Ohio, and I went away, and I stayed for 10 days. And these two girls were going nowhere near Pennsylvania. They were leaving, and I was like, all right, I'm out. And I took off. And they got me to the Pennsylvania border and dropped me off. And that was the first of 6 treatments that I went through in like 2.5 years. I've been to Ohio. I've been to Florida. I've been to Pennsylvania, like just every different way, different place. I've, you know, I've lost everything. I owned a house. I lost that. I lost my car. I lost my fiance. You know, I'm not obviously wasn't in grad school anymore. Like, my whole life just crumbled because of this. I came down to Florida last August to go to treatment down in Delray. And I stayed in treatment for a month. It was my sixth treatment. I was like treatment all-star. I was like, there's nothing they can tell me that I don't know, you know. So I didn't even know why I was there, but I had to go somewhere. You know, like, I medically had to be detoxed, you know, and all the times I went to treatment, I never intended on quitting. I just intended on getting my family off my back so I could just, you know, get back to what I wanted to be doing, which is getting, you know, fucked up. Sorry. I mean, that's the only reason I went to treatment. I never, like, six times I went through it, and I never, like, really gave it a shot. So after I left treatment again early. I was there for a month. My family was paying out of pocket after I went to treatment twice. My family paid out of pocket, which, if you guys know how much treatment is, it's a lot. And I left treatment in September of last year. And I called my family and I was like, I'm coming home. And they're like, no, you're not. They're like, you're in Florida. What, you know, you got to stay there. I was like, they're like, go back to treatment. I'm like, I'm not going back. And they were like, all right, at least go to a halfway house. And I was like, all right. So I lived in a halfway house in Delray for 10 months. And I really wasn't doing the right things. Like, by all appearances, I even got, like a kind of assistant house manager position there. Like, I looked like I was doing the right, but I wasn't doing the right things. I'm really good at manipulating, you know, making it seem like I did. And so I convinced my family that I was ready to move out, and I got my own apartment. And within 2 months, it was just as bad as it was, pretty much. It's a weird timeline. But I went home for a funeral, and one of my close friends passed away from something not related to this. And, I mean, I was so bad while I was there. My family knew, and they were like, you know, you got to go back to treatment. That's what some of my family said, but other people in my family, you're going back to halfway house. We're not paying for treatment again. They were at the end of their ropes. At this time, I weighed 130 pounds. I looked like I was going to die. I used to carry around a note in my back pocket of, like, saying goodbye to people. That's how bad I was. Like, that I would get on a daily basis. I mean, when my family found it, they were like, that is just the most messed up thing. And like, I thought that was, like, cool. Like, at least I'm saying goodbye, you know? Like, I was fine. I was fine with where I was at, you know, which is, like, such a shame, you know, like, that you can accept that you're going to die at any moment. So you're, you know, you carry around, like, goodbyes to your loved ones in your pocket. So anyway, in April, at the beginning of April last year, I came up here because my brother lived in St. Petersburg. And I got back into a halfway house, and, like, I mean, I pretty much knew that this was my last chance, but, you know, I've heard that before. You know, my family always seems to cover my ass, give me more chances, so, you know, what's going to be different this time? And when I got into the halfway house that I'm still at, I'm about to move out of, I was doing the same things I was doing in Delaware. Like, I mean, they wanted me gone. They just couldn't get anything on me to get me kicked out. Like, they couldn't catch me doing anything wrong. And I wasn't, you know, using or anything, but I wasn't doing the right things. I was lying. I wasn't going to meetings. I wasn't working steps. And then in about August, like, I don't know what changed, but I was just like, I'm sick of this. And I switched sponsors, and I started working steps. And I never before, when I've been through this, have I gotten past my four steps. That's always where I got, you know, I get to my four step. I love not calling my sponsor. It's my favorite thing. Like, they'll be like, call me every day. I'll be good for, like, a couple weeks. And then, like, I won't call one day, and then I won't call again. Like, if I miss one day, like, I don't want to hear them tell me, you know, you should have called me, you know. Like, so that's what I've done pretty much every time. But I got a sponsor that, like, really helped me. And, like, really, I had no problem calling. Like, I didn't feel fear of him. I'm also, like, 10 years older than him, you know. But he's got, like, almost 2 years clean. You know, so it didn't matter. Like, I liked what he had, and I wanted it. You know, and that was the big difference. I started working steps. I started, like, you know, living honestly. And the place that wanted to kick me out made me a house manager. And now I'm, like, the head house manager of the place, you know. And, like, just, like, all the responsibilities and the changes that, like my family wants me around. I'm going on a family trip in February for the first time. Like, I wasn't invited to weddings. Like, I didn't go to my brother's wedding, my cousin's wedding. Now I'm, like, going on family trips. I rode the bus for 2 years. I just got a car a couple months ago. Like, all these, like the things that I've gained are so much more than what I'm leaving behind. Like, to live the way I was living was no way to live. And, like, my life now, like, I never thought I would want to live anywhere else. I love Tampa, and I have friends here, and all my friends are in the program. You know, I came here not knowing anybody. And now, like, I can pick up the phone and call people whenever I need them. You know, I have people who, like, genuinely go out of their way to help me without expecting anything in return. Like, it's just, like, I've gotten so much from this that I couldn't have even imagined. And that's why, like, when I was asked to speak, like, I have to give back. Like, this is the first time I ever spoke, in case you can't tell. I'm just so thankful and grateful for everything that this program's given me. You know, and anything that I can do to help anybody, I was just asked to sponsor someone for the first time last night. You know, and I'm so excited. Like, that's something that, like, I want to do. You know, I just want to give back any way I can, because, I mean, carrying around a note saying goodbye to your family and being all right with it and weighing 130 pounds, like, it's crazy what this program has given me, and I'm so thankful. So...